Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds,
and more.
Also, visit reallifesci-fi.show. We've got links to products and Willie Bad Movies and my failed reaction channel that I've given up on. Let's welcome aboard the SS RLSF. He's an actor, comedian, and filmmaker. It's Lars Midtoon.
What's up, Lars?
Yo. So just right off the bat, is Lars your real name?
It is.
So growing up with the name Lars, you're younger than we are. Was Metallica an issue for you?
Well, now it is, you know, people, the older I get, the more and more people ask me about that. And if I drum if I'm a dick, you know,
hey man, you hate Napster, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I kind of learned about that like later in life, but like, oh, the whole Napster thing. I was like, wait, why do people think he's mean? So,
he's just very greedy, I think.
But I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't have a dog.
He was bad before Napster, but that's
really? Allegedly. I don't know. I mean, he's not a great drummer. I don't know. So what's your history with Metallica? When did you know about them? I'm just curious. How old are you, first of all, if you don't mind?
I'm 31. And I think, you know, Enter Sandman, like you got your iPod. I think mine was like an iPod Nano. Okay. And then that song, I remember listening to that song and also envision and being like, oh, this must be about Spider-Man 3, the Sandman. You know, when I heard that, I was like, oh, this is like the perfect theme song for the Sandman in Spider-Man 3. And at the time, and maybe even still, Spider-Man 2 was one of my favorite movies. I got a poster of it in my room. I think like I walked out of that movie and I was like, that had romance, that had action, that had awesome drama. That was the best movie I've ever seen in my life. Like I remember that feeling and just being like, people were laughing in the theater, they were gasping, and like now I like that is kind of my standard to like audience reactions in the theater of like, can it beat Spider-Man 2? Because that was like Spider-Man, such an epic experience, you know.
Who's the bad guy in Spider-Man 2?
Doc
it's
Ock.
The same, it's the same.
Yeah,
oh,
Doc
that's
Ock
the
great.
Doc Ock
yeah.
one.
Yeah, he's so good. Listen to me now. You know, he's like, you can't control his robotic arms.
Did you like when they brought all those guys back in the new Spider-Man? Did you watch that one?
I did watch it. I wasn't like chomping at the bit.
But Alfred Molina kills it in that. He's really good.
Yeah, like I remember, you know, I am not as invert like. I'm not in the Marvel universe like I should, I think. And so I wasn't like, I don't think I saw that in theaters. I'm not caught up. I kind of like watched it and like fell asleep. That's how I usually watch movies now if I'm not super into it. So I was like, what?
What did you think of Spider-Man 3? Because everyone hates it.
Spider-Man 3 definitely didn't live up to Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2 is apparently the fucking gold standard for movies.
It is. Yeah, it really is. I remember thinking I could, you know, the fatherly struggle of like, you just want to get back to his daughter, I think was like Sandman's whole thing. And I remember that scene where like the grain of sand goes into his finger and it changes his whole DNA. Like that's pretty epic. I thought it was cool when Harry decides to work with Spider-Man. I think that's really fun. You know, he's like, all right, we'll put aside our differences. And now I have face scars. So that means something. And, you know, we were friends. we were enemies. Now we're back to friends. Let's defeat the giant sand dune. Like, that's cool. That's cool to me. And the fact that it's in that trilogy, I liked it. But I don't have a poster of Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, everybody didn't like the emo Spider-Man. I thought he was the best part, dude, when he's dancing.
Oh, yes. When he jazz dances, that's amazing. Yes,
I fucking love that shit. I love it. We do conspiracies and stuff here. Are you like generally into this stuff, or in your free time are you looking up, like, you know, I don't know, fucking flat earth or something?
I think the more macro it is, the more I like it, you know, like, mm-hmm. that's fun, even if it's like the Whoville thing, you know. Are we just like a little, are we an operating organism on a little cell in a bigger universe?
Yeah.
Like, I like that sort of thought, you know, like,
I love it. Yeah,
like making us feel so tiny. And then, but then, you know, like some of the stuff, like, I'm from Minnesota, Bigfoot's a thing here, Bigfoot's kind of a thing, like, I feel like everywhere, but I like the idea of that stuff existing, especially when it's like, whoa, you know, monsters and the big macro picture of things. I like that.
I like thinking of my future being having a moment where it's like, yeah, remember when we didn't believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah,
It'll never happen. We'll believe in aliens before we believe in Bigfoot. Mark my words. So it's not something that you spend any of your free time on necessarily. It's a peripheral thing that you're aware of.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the WoW scale.
WoW scale.
WoW scale stands for Waiter Willard's five question quiz. At the end of the five questions, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willy. I'm typically the skeptic. Willy's the believer. Are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Weigh me. A duck.
Is that the Marx Brothers? What is that?
That's when that's in Monty Python in the Holy Grail, and when they weigh the witch, and they're like, what can we weigh her against? A duck.
All right, here's the WoW scale. First question, three-parter. You believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I do believe in aliens. And I do think they've visited Earth, and I do think it has been in the last 300 years. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. What about ghosts?
I've had a ghost experience.
Oh, tell us.
That's kind of one of those things where, like, the more time that has passed, you're like,
Let us be the judge of that. Give us the abridged version of this ghost story. Where were you? Paint the picture. Tell us the whole story.
Okay, so I was touring with my ABBA tribute band, as most people do. I can't remember that I say that because I can't remember which state we're in. Like, we go on these like tours and I kind of forget which state. So it's like, it was in the South. And
what's the name of the band?
It's called the Faba Show. Like, fabulous ABBA. And so we were staying in this like sponsored hotel. So like sometimes to stay for free, we will like plug a hotel, and this was a bed and breakfast, and so we got to stay there. And that night the host was like, all right, well, I'm gonna lock up. If you guys need anything, like, I have to lock up from the outside, so you're kind of locked in here. You're able to get out, but just like, we need to lock the doors, so you're able to get out, but then you got to relock it. So like, we're locking up for the night, so just like, don't go outside. And we're like, okay, cool. We go to bed, and it's like a two-floor hotel with an old elevator, you know, like,
oh, I hate those.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so I'm laying in bed and I hear the elevator going up and down and the cage. Ching, ching. I hear this family moving in this hotel. So I can like hear them dragging their stuff and walking. And you know, when you're sleeping, it felt like it was like a half hour, but who knows, maybe it was like 2 minutes or something. But the next morning we're eating and everybody was like, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. And then somebody in the band was like, so who else is staying here? They got in late, huh? And the host was like, only you guys are staying here. It felt like that, you know? And we were like, what? Was it a ghost? And that's kind of the only explanation for it. Like, we heard people's bags and feet and the elevator.
They were just, yeah, it was just the owners moving the bodies of the previous,
you've got a lot of doors.
Actually a murder. Yeah, they're also trapping you inside.
That's so crazy. Oh, that's okay. Cool.
So, yeah, so what do you think? Are you in? Do you believe in them? Or
for a lot of it, it's like, I like to believe in them. So yes, my answer is yes. So, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Bigfoot. We were talking about Bigfoot off air. You're in Minnesota. That's where you grew up in Minnesota.
Yeah. I grew up here, moved to LA. So I lived in my parents' house till I was like 25. So I know my way around this place. Like, it's the back of my eyelids.
Which part of Minnesota? Are you in a rural part?
It's called Chanhassen, Minnesota. I like to say it's like the woods, you know, because you really do. You feel like you're in the woods, because Minnesota's like, yeah, they have their cities and then it's like lakes, and then woods, roads and lakes, basically. And the roads just kind of go in between the lakes and there are woods everywhere. So
you're in Bigfoot country.
I'm kind of in Bigfoot country, I guess you could say that. Yeah. Growing up, like, oh, this is a Minnesota thing. And then now in California, it's like a NorCal thing too.
Yeah.
So maybe he's got brothers.
Do you think he's out there? You believe in Bigfoot?
I don't. That's actually one I don't like to really, unless he is an alien or a ghost.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he could be a trans-dimensional traveler. We've talked about Bigfoot a lot. It could be a lot of these things. So no on Bigfoot. Was 9/11 an inside job?
You know, that's actually one I think it's fun to entertain. But I just think, you know, especially now, like, huge government conspiracies. I don't think that they could really do a good job at covering them up as well as they at least initially would. So I'd say no.
All right. That's we're going to get into that a little bit. For once, I know what the topic is tonight.
Mm.
There's a big government conspiracy aspect to it. The multiverse. Do you believe in the multiverse? Do you believe that we could, in the distant future, travel between different universes?
I don't think I believe we could travel. So just around the same page. Multiverse, like every decision you make subconsciously or not is a split. And so then that universe
exists.
That's
one version. There's definitely other versions that would work also. But yeah, that's one of them. Because another one is, there are parallel universes, but it's not based on your thoughts. There's just a bunch of parallel ones running next to each other. And I don't know, there could be some without us in them. There could be a bunch that have us in them. I'm not trying to sway you or lead or anything, but like, you know, that like each universe is a different frequency. Our brains are tuned to this one. And there's different entities that are tuned to a different one, and it could be extensions of you in other ones. So I don't know.
So now what do you think?
God,
it's kind of like make your own
radio
definition.
Guy.
No, make your own definition up of what the multiverse is.
Yeah.
Like, do you believe in it, or do you think it's,
I think,
sci-fi?
Well, yeah, it's one that, again, I like to believe in it. I recently heard one that was like, if you die in this universe, like for like, let's say a car crash, well, there's another universe where you don't die. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been so many moments where I'm like, I should be fucking dead, you know? And then I'm like, how didn't I die? Like, I fell asleep driving. How didn't I die? Maybe
that's
I did.
Such...
And this is just the universe that I'm. Like the one sliver that I got to keep living, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I don't know. A yes? What do you think?
Yeah, let's go with yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there are different. Well, and also, actually, here's a more definitive answer. If I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know. Maybe someone who knows science could be like, that doesn't make any sense. But if the universe is always expanding infinitely, then who's to say every different version of anything you can fathom exists because if the expansion is infinite? You know, like, is there a universe where you do have hot dogs for fingers? Well, yeah, because it's infinitely expanding, which if it's infinite, by definition, it should be.
Yeah,
it should
it's
exist,
out there.
You know?
It has to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I don't know what the evolution would be where we had to develop hot dogs for fingers, but
maybe they just look like hot dogs.
Just hot. Well, I picture cooked hot dogs, you know, so I picture like a lot of heat.
Okay. And then all, yeah. But then also, like, do we have to feed our fingers to predators to keep us safe? Or, like, what's the point of them being hot dogs? Because they're not functional, right? They don't have bones in them.
Maybe it's us being self-sufficient and we get to munch our own dogs.
You can,
and they grow back.
There was one version of a human. Oh, yeah, yeah. That, like, the only ones that survived were the ones that had things to eat.
Yeah.
It was themselves.
They just kept eating their fingers so much that their body was like, well, fine. You know, if you're going to eat your fingers, we'll make them hot dogs.
They say with stem cells, you can grow parts back. And I'm like, oh, that's fascinating.
Oh, shit. That's like Spider-Man.
It's like Spider-Man 3.
The lizard guy.
Yeah, it's like Spider-Man 3 when the, you know, the Sandman can get his arm blown off and then it can grow right back.
Yeah, why was that guy so tortured, dude? Like... just be the sand. Like, I didn't see any drawbacks behind being a Sandman. You could still make love to your wife, couldn't you?
I love my daughter.
Would that be really, if you got fucked with a sand dick, that would probably suck, right? It would leave a bunch of sand behind.
You could wear a condom with the sand.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you ever have a wave of water wash over your sandcastle? Probably what would happen. So that's why he's so tortured.
Yeah. His wife gets so fucking horny
for
him.
It used to be bigger.
All right. So you're like a 3. We'll put you at a 3. We'll put you halfway in between a Willie and a Wade. So congratulations. That's where most people end up. Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, intelligent life is here. The Age of Disclosure, a new documentary about UAPs that's shaking things up. 34 ex-generals, senators, and insider whistleblowers say the government's buried non-human crashes in tech for 78 years, and now it's spilling out to Congress. Grab a drink and let's geek out on what it means for us and if we're actually prepared for this information. Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Yeah, this new documentary out there, it's on Amazon Prime, The Age of Disclosure. It's made by Dan Farah. He's a producer that he produced Ready Player One, but he's a, you know, a producer. Came out on my birthday, which means something, you know.
It just came out?
Yeah, November 21st. Yeah.
Was that a Friday?
Damn, happy birthday, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah, happy birthday,
man. Let's celebrate aliens.
But this is stuff you knew, right? Isn't that documentary just like where you gather shit together?
Hodgepodge,
potpourri.
Well, okay. I was thinking more like,
I would say that if you're into this stuff, you know most of the stuff in this. But they did a good job of packaging it and only using expert witnesses. You don't have like the documentary filmmaker being a big voice or character or just a eyewitness.
Well, I guess, yeah, sure. But my question is more like, did this illuminate anything for you, or was it all just kind of like rehashed?
It was mostly a rehash, but it had some good ideas in it and some new concepts that I hadn't put together in this same way. Do you pay attention to all the UAP stuff, Lars? Are you into since 2010, when they finally put out UAP videos with,
I haven't been like, yeah, when they were like, this is Air Force footage, and you hear the guys and they're like, yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh, and it's, wow, look at that. It's rotating and it's going through water. I saw that and I was like, I fucking knew it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is them actually releasing stuff and they've never done that before. They've never taken it serious. They've always like discredited people and made you crazy for questioning it, so much so that I love the way the documentary puts it. It's just like, it, there's so much stigma left over from it that like we are not going to recover from it. And
so
it's kind of bad.
You didn't watch the doc, right?
I did not, no.
Okay. I just happened to, not because I knew about this. It's just, it was there and I watched it. It almost just presupposes that aliens are real. I mean, kind of. It gets a little bit into the science of like how these things would fly or whatever, but then a lot of it is just the cover up of it, or the alleged cover up.
That's interesting. So, like, I mean, like, you know, you believe in aliens, you believe they've been here. Do you believe that there are secret militaries or secret government that knows about their existence and they're hiding it from us actively?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just started X-Files again. Not that I finished the show, but those first couple episodes are so great. And
oh, man,
how they're like, so the Air Force is using alien technology that's been here since the 50s, you know, or trying to figure it out. I believe that stuff. Yeah, yeah, you know. And so then they would have to have whole government agencies that are covering it up. It can't be like their side job, right? They can't be like doing other stuff. Yeah.
And they definitely did a good job of, I mean, because I've tried to bring this up before. They basically, if you believe any of this stuff, if Roswell really was an alien craft, which I believe it was, they come out and say, hey, we recovered a UFO craft. And like, oh, fuck, we shouldn't have said that. Mainly because we don't want our enemies to know that we have one. But also, that
makes sense. Yeah.
Also, like, fuck, we don't want the American public to know, because then we got to tell them everything we learn. Nah, that was something else. And then they created the CIA. And then they created the Air Force within months of Roswell. So the CIA then turned into this thing that was tried to control information from all the different things. And then also the Air Force was responsible for retrieving UFO crafts anywhere they found them around the world. Pop in, get them, get out. And like this, it's crazy because, you know, you think of the CIA being just this big, most important thing, but the CIA director and are appointed, and it's a rotating position. But Air Force is not that way, and also the upper echelon of the Air Force, but then also the Department of Energy, which specifically relates to nuclear energy. If there were alien crafts out there and they were using some sort of nuclear energy, it's like, oh, that's our department. Can't let the world find out about it, because we've never ended the Cold War. We always have to hide information, especially if we've recovered a UFO craft for reals. You have to assume our enemies have too. So what do they have? What are they working with? And all of a sudden, it's just another Cold War about the next future of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? I mean, obviously you believe this shit, right?
Most people working these positions don't know anything. It's a top-down thing. And so the documentary did a good job of that too. It's like you don't tell all the presidents, you don't tell them what's going on. So there's just a few people pulling strings that know stuff, and not everybody has to know. Now, listen, this is a parallel. I believe that we went to the moon, but if you wanted to fake it, you could fake all of the input that everybody was getting in NASA's thing. Like, oh, I got the heartbeat of this astronaut. He's not in space. We're just feeding you a monitor, and you're watching this information. So not everybody has to be in on it for it to be fake.
But you're also making an argument before we even.
I know.
Like, so, yeah. Okay. So you're saying, like, well, because Lars, you specifically said you don't think that the government could like cover up 9/11 to the extent.
Mm-hmm.
So how does it change when it comes to aliens in your estimation?
That's a good point. Maybe that's me just being like, well, a bunch of people died. It's impossible. But no, I think more people are trying to figure that one out.
Engineers.
Yeah. You know, and so then like kind of like you said, like the alien thing can kind of get swept under the rug as.
That's a great point.
You're crazy.
It's so much more public that like it's way harder to cover up, right? When it's aliens, like, so a big part of this documentary is just like, and I didn't know this as an American, that I didn't know that the whole crackpot you saw UFO thing is like entirely American. Like no other country has this stigma of people who have seen UFOs, where everyone just calls them, yeah, like a you know, crazy. I don't know. It's just interesting how, like, I've seen, according to this, I've seen the disinformation like work really well to the point where, like, these Air Force guys and stuff, I think even before like their careers were threatened for saying this shit, they just didn't want to say a shit because it made them look like a moron, like a crazy person. The cover up, I feel like, is easier.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing it gets into, just because we're on this, is they'll kill you. Like, a lot of people don't say anything because they'll kill you.
Right.
That's what these guys think, at least.
A funny parallel to the 9/11 stuff is like, oh, you think 9/11 was fake? You're un-American. Why would you believe that?
Oh, the whole patriot, yeah. Like, patriotism has been, like, used so fucking, like, aggressively, dude.
Yeah.
as like a fucking, you know, like just toe the line, man. Just like believe in the country.
It's care so about fucking... our veterans.
Yeah. That's what
wait. Hold on.
I believed in aliens.
Another thing that could also play into it, I kind of, and like I said, like I like to think of the hidden hand theory of your, you know, that one, you know, so like it makes
Wait, what is it?
It's comforting to me to think like, oh, some greater being is kind of helping us develop our tech in a safe way. You know, like some people think as soon as we developed nuclear weapons, that's when the aliens like stopped just observing us. And they were like, all right, we're gonna step in here and like help them out a little bit. And so in that regard, it's a lot easier to cover up the alien stuff as a government with their help. You know, like if they have this crazy if they have this crazy tech, then it's just like, oh well,
I mean,
it'd be so easy.
All of the Men in Black stories, it's easier to believe that it's an entity pretending to be human than just humans wearing black suits that are playing mind tricks on you. I don't know.
Wait, why?
A lot of the descriptions of the Men in Black, if you saw something paranormal, including Bigfoot and stuff, they show up. People describe them looking like they're wearing a skin suit or that their color was weird or that these two different people had the same haircut. Their eyes are weird. Everything they describe is like, something's weird about this person. I'm losing memory and
that seems like a really weird use of aliens to like send. We have real CIA guys that we could send. Why would we send aliens to look like a CIA guy?
Well, I see this is where we get into the crazy stuff, but I'm into it. Just mind erasing, you know, if you picture someone being abducted.
Oh, they've got like telekinetic shit that they can do.
They have some ability to, I think, sever synapses that are pertaining to memories associated with that experience.
Mm-hmm. I have that ability too. It's called whiskey.
You're an alien.
So Willie, what do you want to concentrate on here? Because there's also like, there's so much to talk about there. So you just mentioned, Lars, something about, oh, the nuke thing. There's one guy who talks about the nuke thing specifically. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of the documentary, but I liked his interview because they put a fake warhead on a missile to test, like, oh, could we nuke, like, whatever tests they're doing. I don't know. They're watching it go up on whatever video they have, and they see a craft come, and it like zaps the warhead from like three sides. It like, it's flying with it. This is a missile flying through the air, and this thing kind of comes in. And it like zaps it with a laser or light, and then it goes to the front and then zaps it, and then it goes to the bottom and zaps it. I think like what you're supposed to get out of that is that it determined there was no actual nuke on this thing, and then it just pissed off, right?
Mm.
It shot it down.
No, they didn't shoot. They didn't shoot that one down. Who, the aliens?
Yeah, the craft.
I don't know if we're thinking about a different.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing. Did you know that guy was supposed to be on our show?
How would I know that?
We booked him to be on the show when we were at McMenamin's. He was one of the guys speaking, Robert Jacobs.
Oh, that's the guy that called us Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah. So this guy, in this show, he was
like, this guy's a fucking liar. There's no way
we booked him. He listened to an episode and he was like, oh, I'm not doing that. These guys are like Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, the voice of a generation? Thanks for the compliment.
That guy, hilarious.
So that guy was supposed, he just runs the cameras for the secret testing. So his camera is focused on this missile that's going whatever thousands of miles per hour. So he saw the footage and then they took it from him. Even though he didn't say it in this, supposedly there was a warhead on it and it disabled it and shot it down and then took off.
Yeah, well, that was probably a different one though, because he specifically said this was a dummy one. It checked it out and then it went away.
Okay. But that, yeah, that's the same guy.
But, well, fuck him then. And now I don't believe him. Cause if you're not going to go on my show, then you're a fucking coward.
Get out of here.
That's exactly what Beavis would say.
I'm so glad that I'm Beavis and not Butthead.
I want to talk about real quick, just these observables. These are that they call them. These are things that they've noticed about UAP crafts that are shocking.
Wait, why did they stop calling them UFOs?
I personally think that they stopped it because if you look up UFO, you're going to get all the old shit that they're trying to cover up. So I think they're trying to open it up.
You think it was a marketing plan?
How do we remove Googling plan, Google, you know?
Yeah.
Unidentified aerial phenomenon. And then now I think it's unidentified anomalous phenomenon because of the crafts going into the ocean and into space, you know, not just in the air.
I think it started as like a military term. Like they didn't use UFO as in their actual, I don't know, it would have been hacky to them, I think, to use UFO. So they started using UAP. And then once they started disclosing shit, the press just was like, oh, you call them UAPs, we'll call them UAPs, you know.
They just needed to sound cool and like scientific.
Yeah.
They're UFOs.
It needed to not sound like a 1950s Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So this thing's going like, you know, 4,600 miles per hour. Well, that's hypersonic velocity. The UAPs are going like 40,000 miles per hour. So we have nothing that can do that. Well, here's the thing. I do believe that we're reverse engineering them. So we do have crafts that can do it, but it's not official and it's all lost and hidden from.
Yeah, maybe. Public. Reverse engineering.
Jesus. Yeah.
Reverse engineering aside, I don't know that we have anything that can match what they're doing, right? Because we would turn to goo if we did.
Okay. So that's the other thing is like instantaneous acceleration, you know?
Well, do you just want to, yeah, you're talking about the five things, right? It's like, this is a big UFO thing. It's like the speed, the direction change. Like, what are the five? You tell me.
Yeah. So hypersonic velocity, instantaneous acceleration. You know, the SR-71 is one of our fastest things, and it says it takes half the state of Ohio to complete a turn, whereas this thing just goes zip, zoop.
Which is like an insane thing to think about. Like if you're just turning around in a B-52 or whatever you just said, like
and SR-71, it takes
the entire, sure, the cool one, the stealth fucking thing.
Yeah, Tom Cruise stuff.
Yeah, we all had posters of it in the fucking 90s next to the Lamborghini. Did your generation, did they like Lamborghinis?
What was your car? Did you have a car on your wall?
I'm a Mustang guy, you know.
Like 60s?
I like 60s. I like, my favorite is the Fox Body Mustang, which is like 1987 to 1993.
Is that the awesome, horrible one? I feel like that's the horrible one.
It's after the horrible one. It's really the 5.0.
Okay.
It's the 5.0.
The horrible one led to the 5.0.
Okay.
All right. And, you know, some people think they're horrible, but some people think they're fucking awesome, man. And I'm one of those guys.
I like them.
Oh, this is the one. Okay. You like the, all right. So you probably love like a Miata too. You know, you like the Rabbit? I'll bet you love the Rabbit.
I don't know the Rabbit, but it sounds cool.
Oh, look up the Rabbit. No, I'm sorry. So anyway, we had Lamborghinis and stealth bombers on our walls. Go on. What are we up to? Three? How many did we live?
Let's see. Low observability. Anything going that fast, we'd either break the sound barrier, so there'd be evidence of it going that fast. Propulsion. Yeah. And then transmedium travel, which is like being, they have videos of these crafts going through air, jumping into space and going through water without their speed being affected at all. Whereas, you know, like even our crafts, as soon as it hits the atmosphere, slows down from all the extra burn and resistance and different medium, anti-gravity abilities. And then the last thing was biological effects. People that have been around them or too close to them, they have like weird fucking burns inside of them. Some of them, a lot of them die within 7 years of having come in contact with these crafts, which a lot of people haven't.
There's a guy who says that, right? In this documentary, there's a guy who's like, yeah, no, like you die, like a bunch of people die or whatever. But he's talking about seeing it and he's saying that his brain is fried from the radiation or whatever. But he didn't say that like any of his team members, like, why is this guy alive? That was my question. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, if everyone dies, what are you doing here?
I think it was like most people. You know, there are stories like Rendlesham where like they touched the craft and walked up to it, you know, and it's like, oh, those people had radiation poisoning. But they didn't know soon enough, or also if you're a military and you know the craft is real, you either have to hide the person because their effects that they actually do have radiation poisoning, or you just deny it and you don't help them. It's like, no, you don't have that, you know?
Yeah. But think about this. Another thing, Lars, is that one of these guys claims that we have UFO, UAP recovery teams, like Air Force military teams, that can just basically, because we have military bases around the fucking world, wherever one of these things goes down, they can be there in like minutes and like scoop up the tech. So what, radiation goes away once it hits the Earth? Like all these, why aren't all these?
Well, that's why the latest egg-shaped retrieval, they wrap it up. The helicopter picks it up. Like a person doesn't touch it. They just grab it and take off.
Okay, so that's great. But like, what if it's in pieces?
Yeah, right, right.
Or maybe they don't go into pieces, but the Roswell one was in pieces. I mean, from what we saw. I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking. I don't know about this guy who thinks that we're all going to die or whatever. I didn't understand why that was in there. It's like, if you see a UFO, don't go up to it. Okay, great. Noted.
Well, I know. I think specifically, so this documentary also gets into the idea that, you know, whistleblowers are not protected at all. So it's like, I think that he didn't say enough because he just couldn't say enough.
Hmm. Yeah, but whatever. I just don't know why that was a part. Why was that in there?
Well, did you hear about the Russian guys who turned into pillars, cement pillars? I saw on Instagram, mind you, that it was declassified, like these Russian files. The R files, and they declassified that these guys turned into pillars for witnessing a UFO.
Like what kind of pillars were they made of? Like marble,
cement,
cement pillars, like completely cylindrical. Or
some guys, I think, turned into actual pillars, and some guys turned into cement.
That's great.
I've not heard of it. I'm going to look it up.
Great. You look that up for sure.
Well,
that's
amazing. And other countries have been releasing UFO files for a long time and weird stories and stuff. And they're not hard to get a hold of. Like I tried to get to the Brazil ones, but like you had to create an account.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. Like if you believe all this stuff is going on, Brazil, South America, like they don't matter. They're not a world power. Like the only ones who matter are Russia, China, us.
If you believe any of this stuff, then you have to go Iraq also, because that's where.
Oh, really?
That's where the Sumerians were. And supposedly they had either a Stargate or technology or.
Well, that's. Oh, you sent us the. Okay.
If you believe in the New York Post.
Yeah. Which, I love New York Post. Yeah.
The rag of rags.
I definitely do love watching, you know, in Men in Black when they read those for the real paranormal stories.
New York Post is kind of, Jesus, what was the fucking grocery store one that we had in the 80s?
Enquirer. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, the National Enquirer. Yeah. It is, right?
Alexander Hamilton started the New York Post, you guys. Did you know that?
No.
It's in the musical.
I'm talking about aliens. They're from... fuck, God. I wish I could rap as poorly as Lin-Manuel. I don't like...
Aliens! Aliens! Alien sins! Who are we but sinning men's? Cinnamon.
He's like a jam poet.
No, he really is.
I'm wondering, because I think the biggest sort of hypothesis that the documentary, if you want to call it that, I don't know, can you call a fake news thing a documentary? And whatever.
Ken Burns should have made
it. I believe in it. Yeah, if it were Ken Burns, I'd be like, holy shit.
Holy everyone shit, would be Ken Burns.
Yeah. But that's kind of one of the points is it's like, well, the reason that they've hidden this shit is for so long is because the public can't handle it. Like society will, you know, devastate itself based on this news, which I don't think that. I don't know. I mean,
what do you think about that, Mars? Minnesota, you know,
I feel like the news has been so crazy that's why we're hearing about it now. It's like, Well, I mean, like, what's crazier than what's going on? Well, now here's some declassified files.
Now it's just cool.
Just trying to like make it through the day here. So
right.
You know,
now it's something that they put out as a like he called the reporter piggy or whatever. So they're like, release more of those real UFO files so that people stop saying shut up, piggy. Like anything to get away from the Epstein files, you know,
which could be alien files. So you just don't even know.
I mean, what a good time to let, you know, it's like, oh, you know what? We were planning on doing this. Let's just do it now while this shit's hot.
Yeah. And it'll go away.
Yeah. Like people won't even ride these. Like if you, I heard somebody say like, if there was a meteor coming to Earth, we would all be debating about it. As and I haven't seen the movie Don't Look Up, but like we would be disagreeing about it as soon as until it like kills everybody, you know, and be like, oh, it's fucking fake, that's AI, and we'd die, you know. It doesn't we'd fight till the end.
Yeah, it's easy for a lot of us. I'm not throwing everybody into this, but like if you're not totally religious, it's like, well, yeah, you know, aliens could be real, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I feel like if you like I picture the big Christian community in America, and like immediately if they said aliens were real and we have crafts, all of a sudden I feel like it fucks with all the religions. And that's why there's so many religious people saying like, these are demons, don't mess with the demons.
Right. But does that fuck with the economy? I mean, they're still going to buy shit, right? Like they're not going to, I feel like religious people are the least of your concerns, because like,
anarchy,
I don't really care. Right? But what would the anarchy be? Like, we don't believe that there's aliens. Like what, like
my take, and I don't know if I would act this way, but I go like it, let's say aliens showed up tomorrow. They just showed up I'd be like, why am I
they're hot
living?
You said, this? Oh, they're hot.
I'd be like, why am I,
everybody wants to fuck them,
living in this box? And that's why that I don't want to live in.
They take over all these societies because they just honey trap you all. I'm sorry. You why do you live in this box that you don't want to live in? Yeah. But what's your recourse though? To do what?
Aliens show up tomorrow, I'm never going to pay taxes again.
Why not? Because you still go to jail. They're still paying the IRS.
Our society is bigger now. You know, our world is bigger. Our universe is bigger. I don't.
I just don't know if you're. I feel like you. I don't know. You could stop paying taxes now. I mean, do you like where your taxes are going?
You got potholes.
Yeah, well, potholes. You could still pay the city taxes. Maybe in LA we have a city tax. You could still pay that. Which is nothing to the federal government.
You know,
well, Lars, what would you do if aliens came? Do you what do you think? Would it fuck
would
up
it change your day to day? Like,
yeah,
no, not really. Honestly, I think that's a good like temperature check of your life. You know, of like do what you'd be doing if aliens were here, man. Like if they weren't enslaving us and all that stuff. But honestly, I don't think they would. I think they'd be peaceful, and they would and if they're able to get here. Kind of like what we've been saying, if they're able to get here, they're able to hide, you know? And so I think, I don't know. I just don't see them being that barbaric either. So it'd be like, so why even announce their arrival if they're just like studying us? And what's kind of cute about aliens is that I think they'd come here peacefully and it wouldn't change too much, because they have to figure out, like, if we ever become the aliens to another species out there, we have to figure out our own shit on Earth so well that we're able to like unite and be like, okay, now we get to, it's like a video game, you know, it's like your civilization gets to expand beyond this little ball. And so they're going to get here with all their shit figured out. And they're not going to be too like crazy, like hot-headed, I don't think. So
you guys are still mean to each other?
Yeah, what?
Well, but it could be a race for misinformation. Like if we get there first, we can tell, like, let's say that it's humanity has gone beyond whatever and we discovered life, but Russia and the US, we still have conflicts here. We want to get there and be like, hey, Russians are bad, and we start feeding whatever their Twitter is with like all of our propaganda, you know. So it could be something like that, these guys.
That's true. Imagine if they did come and there were like three different types of them, but they all look the same, and they're like, hey guys, those guys are not chill.
They do you also like have red some, or green? Green
gotta go with us.
They have some slave race too. They're like, oh no, these guys work for us.
They volunteered. They're well paid. They get college credit.
It's fair. It's fair.
The fun part is if you apply all this stuff to things that have happened in the past, you know, you take Russia, you take China, you take America, we're all racing and strong enough to collect UAPs and crafts. They were saying in this documentary that in Russia in 1989, they recovered some giant Tic Tac and that they found some direct energy weapon. And so I picture this race of us using the secret military, secret government, whatever, using weapons against other countries to get what they want. And you look at all the crazy shit, like there was a hurricane, a couple years ago that like took a right turn in the wrong direction. I'm like, this is specifically directed.
Was that the one that didn't
happening?
It crossed the equator or something? Or
It crossed the equator.
Which no hurricane has ever done.
Like if you spin a globe and you put a hurricane on it, it's impossible. It's going against nature. It's going against the natural flow of everything. It doesn't do that because it's like impossible.
What does that have to do with aliens, though?
Reverse engineering their stuff, using their weapons, and then everyone hiding the secret that they're even doing it. All of a sudden, it's not a cold war anymore. It's a hot war where it's like, let's just say, hold something up for ransom. You don't do it. We're going to throw another hurricane at you.
You think it was a man-made hurricane that came from reverse engineered alien technology?
The hurricane might not have been man-made, but it definitely moved or was directed or was huge because of the directed energy. Like even this one in Jamaica that recently happened, and you look at the fires in Canada over a 300-mile radius, 26 fires started at this exact same time. That's impossible.
Doesn't that just feel like an anti-global warming kind of misinformation? Like, oh fuck, dude. Like, you know, the environment's getting really bad, but we could blame it on aliens.
No, it's not right? The aliens, it's other governments like
harnessing the alien technology in an effort to stop people from caring about global warming. That's all I'm saying. It's like, Oh, these fires that have never happened before. But that could also be attributed to climate change and just that we're ruining this planet. And it would be in some oil fucking CEO's agenda to tell us that it's aliens. I'm just saying, like, be careful about this stuff. Because if you look at,
I get where you're coming from. But like, I'm just going like, I do believe that we've recovered stuff and that we're using these weapons like this. And I also believe in climate change, you know, but,
no, I know. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just, saying, watch out. It just feels weird. Like because what are these? Okay. So here's one of the things that I wanted to ask. This documentary, I don't believe ever kind of dove into like what they're actually reverse engineering, like what technology they alluded. They're like, oh yeah, you see these companies. I think they're maybe talking about the iPhone, but I'm not sure. But they were just saying like, oh, you see these companies who like have nothing, and then all of a sudden they're like advancing all of this technology.
Yeah,
that's because they are, you know, defense contractors, and they're basically just stealing it from the taxpayers and making it proprietary.
So Lars, one idea is that like the reason why you have Northrop Grumman, the reason why you have Boeing and all these companies doing secret testing at these secret sites is because, oh, they reverse engineer the UFOs so that they'll never be able to release information to the public. Freedom of Information Act. The government's doing it, they eventually have to release information. It's like, okay, you guys work for us. You can take this technology. And then all of a sudden they're like making money and creating new technologies that benefit them and not giving it back to, you know, whatever. Like one idea out there is that there's some new jet engines that don't necessarily run off of gas, but they're just kind of not telling people about it. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, why would you continue to run off gas when you don't have to? But like, you could still fill
it up.
What
do they run
off
of?
Like a fusion engine of some sort. Like, I don't remember.
Here's my thing with this whole thing. I understand the idea of like reverse engineering the stuff and recreating the purpose of it. But I don't understand, when you look at these UAPs in this documentary that are like covered in a bubble that changes time space, which is how they can just go into the ocean, because they're not actually going into the ocean. They're just traveling through a space where they've kind of eliminated the ocean, if that makes sense.
That's a good description. Yeah.
It's so much more advanced than anything that we have. I don't know how you would take that. Like, where would step one be? Because it's just like, these guys are so, if you can do that, what are you taking away from
it? Like, what are you doing here? Yeah. What do you, yeah.
Like, well, how do you reverse engineer it? Like, it's like giving a caveman an iPhone, right? And
yeah.
Then having
yeah.
him dissect it and going, now recreate the iPhone.
But
would he get anything out of it, out of the iPhone?
I do agree with you. But when you have these physicists, rocket scientists that understand this stuff, those are the guys that like are like, oh, this is this. And then they just apply that. And it's not necessarily that they can rebuild it, but they understand the science enough to go like, oh, that's how this works. And
yeah, maybe.
Or they're even proving to themselves what they thought was impossible is possible. Yeah. You know, they're going, oh shit, I guess that's another thing we don't know about.
One thing they talked about was, so quantum entanglement, maybe they're getting energy to create this other field of time space from another point in time. I'm going like, oh fuck, you know, like, yeah, you quantum entangle a star with this thing, and all of a sudden this right. star over here yeah. is like powering. Because they're saying there's so much power being used to be able to do this. But it's funny because like people saying this don't understand the science either. So it's like explaining magic.
I guess that's my whole thing. I mean, maybe I'm not giving the physicists enough credit. Like maybe they're smarter and maybe they know more. But like, I can't imagine like taking a UFO and getting anything useful out of it. You know, like how would you even know? Like, give me a motherboard. I won't be able to tell you anything about it.
I know. I can look and tell you if the solders are good, but I don't know what's connecting. Like, okay, yeah,
that's some work. Caveman shit. They don't even have solders.
Or even like giving an iPhone to ants, you know, like a village of ants. That's what I kind of think it'd be like. It's like,
yeah,
that's how like ants don't know we're walking. We're deciding to step over their ant hill. They don't know shit. Like they don't even recognize us. You know, it's like.
Yeah,
that's how we probably would perceive some being that's able to get to us.
Yeah. So if that's the case, it makes me think that like these things that they're leaving behind. One of the parts of the documentary is that like they're sort of like weaponizing all these different countries because they haven't chosen a side yet, right? So they're like giving everyone. That's why Russia has a craft and.
It's like an IQ test. Oh, you get one. What are you going to do with it? You get one. So they're being these crafts aren't crashing. They're being left behind.
Right. I didn't picture it as an IQ test, but that's kind of a good. But I'm just wondering, are these crafts like from like 200? Is it like us dropping a Model T off? You know, like it's just like some. Well, they'll maybe understand
as a hidden hand, right? Like as a
hidden hand. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you guys could. Figure out alternative energy than gasoline,
right.
Cause you and know, then, and then, we know and your then planet you, doesn't have much.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just crazy to me that these crafts are so fucking advanced and that we can retro, whatever the word is.
Reverse engineer. One thing that I found fascinating was, cause I was always like, you know, blips on radars, air traffic controllers, they used to always talk about UFOs everywhere, UAPs, and then they stopped. And then somebody was like, in this documentary, they're like, oh, these devices don't look for crafts anymore. They only look for things that are blipping. You know, this plane has a beacon, tells you where it's at. So it's like they don't even see UAPs on a lot of the air traffic controller devices anymore because they're not looking for that. They're just like, oh, that's interesting. They don't, you take away them having to point out that there's something there all the time.
They're but not scanning the whole sky.
Yeah.
They just don't even, yeah. According to this, they just don't even like really use radar. They only use it to pick up signals that are intentionally telling you where they are. So like none of these UAPs are But then I'm like, okay, well, what about fucking other countries? Like, you don't care about them? Like,
well, I mean, we still have NORAD doing that, but just not commercial air traffic, you know? So I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like, take away them asking questions. What is this? I don't know. We need to put a red flag up. It's like, well, NORAD knows where fucking everything is. They're fucking getting there to handle it in the fucking mountain, you know?
What the hell? What the hell is NORAD?
Oh, do you know NORAD?
No.
Willie, you say it. I'd butcher it.
It's basically America's defense for anything in our airspace. It's in Colorado Springs in the mountains. It's like the protected.
Yeah, we know about it because we're from mountain Colorado. Base. It's like it's a base that's in a mountain. They, like,
if you've seen Interstellar or 2012, they both deal with NORAD. It's like have you seen Interstellar? Like, that's where.
Matthew
McConaughey. That's where
that's where it's working. Okay.
Yeah.
So like, so, if a nuke, like swat down the nuke, that kind of technology.
Yeah, yeah. And supposedly, like, you picture a president being anywhere in the U.S., they can get to somewhere to get to NORAD quickly. That's like the defense bunker.
Oh, nice.
For protected people. So supposedly, you know, there's underground tunnels from DIA that go there and all over the country. I believe that it's all connected, but.
I don't really even know what the point of the doc was. It seems like, I don't know. What do you take away from any of this?
This was their way of protecting themselves, but B, going like, hey, all of these congressional UAP hearings that have happened in the past years, have been three of them. This is them just trying to get it on the books. And so, like, these are expert witnesses just basically saying, we need to address this. This is fucking real. So it's just like another way of, hey, if we all get together, maybe we have defense in numbers. Maybe not all of us are going to die. Even though a lot of these people have been saying a lot of these things for years, this is the most professional documentary we could put out about UAPs, because most of them still have crazy shit in them where it's like, well, I believe all this, but this thing taints the whole documentary. You know, it's like, oh, all of a sudden, you know, like, a lot of people don't like Stephen Greer or the muscle dude.
The Stephen Greer guy, Lars, if you don't know, he's like a UFO guy, but he's also jacked. And I'm like, you've got something to hide. Like, there's no reason for you to be jacked, dude. Like,
never trust a jacked man.
you can't trust him. Like, you, I mean, your life is going too good. If you can spend that much time in the lab, as they say, then I don't care about what you think. No, that's about true. Dude,
I actually heard girls say that, like, never date a chiseled man. I've heard that before. It's like, wow. he's got demons or something, you know? You're like, why are you so chiseled?
I love the idea of, like, a knife salesman coming to my house, and one of them is like a nerdy, like, guy with glasses, and one of them's like a fucking jacked, yoked dude. I'm like, oh fuck, dude! Like,
are they kitchen knives, or are they fighting?
Just kitchen knives. Just kitchen.
Yeah, then I go with a little weakling guy.
Have you seen, like, this guy? His name's like something Elliot, and he's a motivational speaker for men, and he's like always he's jacked, and he's like, get up here. Take your shirt off. You see that? You don't have abs. How can I expect you to sell cars if you can't spend time taking care of your body? And it's just like the most reversed, messed up masculine, like, thing ever.
Oh,
it's like,
man. Totally. I love it.
Do you care about your family? How don't you have abs?
he's just secretly selling some kind of ab workout.
Yeah,
you'll never be a professional, serious man unless you have abs. I don't trust anyone with abs. I think if you have abs, that's crazy. To work on your abs is an insane thing to do. Like, nobody sees them, dude.
No. There's no. But that's there's the no thing. You dude see that them. Leaves his shirt on.
You have to see them every day.
Well, Lars, what do you think? I mean, you haven't seen the thing, but we kind of I don't know. We said a bunch of stuff. What do you think? Like, what's the question? What's the end question here, Willie? Like, what is it?
If this is all happening, do you think it's important for everyone to know, or do you think it's better that the average dummy doesn't know? Because, you know, what's a Karen's response to aliens?
Yeah, and then we get the don't look up scenario where people aren't believing it. So
right. Well, I honestly think, like, if you would make a documentary and you put aliens in an interview chair and they talked, we still wouldn't believe it. They'd be like, no, that's fake. You know, even if the producers were like, it's real, you know, like what validates it? Like, okay, we have producers from Hollywood. No, we have producers from the U.S. government. No, we have producers from another government. That's not the United States.
Well,
no,
it's funny.
Like, no, nobody say that would believe it. You know,
this producer produced a Hollywood movie, you know, so it's like, does he taking away credibility from this, from producing fiction?
If it was Ken Burns, maybe we would all believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ken Burns, but Ken Burns has never told a lie. He's like the George Washington of our time. To do an actual disclosure documentary, you would have to get like a representative from every country to be in the room and like fucking talk it out and be like, what's real and what's not. It would be impossible.
And then you get all their religious beliefs influencing alien stuff too.
Doing the religious thing. Like why are you so concerned with the religious people? Because I really don't care if religious people believe in it or not.
I think that they have just so much of a power right now that like, I think more people believe in demons than aliens in America. And I'm going like, oh man, this is not the headspace to be in, because you're defining something. Alien is defined too, because I think a lot of these things are from Earth or not from whatever, you know, like alien is like, you're not us, you're not from here. So both of them are over defining things in a way that make you judge what the intelligent entity is.
Right. But who cares? Who cares if those people believe? They don't believe in dinosaurs, you know?
Well, I know, and it's funny.
The greatest trick the dinosaurs ever played was making us believe they didn't exist.
Bryan Singer is such a good director. The greatest trick that Bryan Singer ever played was making people believe he wasn't a pedophile.
I don't even know who that is, honestly.
I know.
He directed Usual Suspects, and that's the line from Usual Suspects.
Oh, right. Okay.
But Bryan Singer is a very kind of notorious, he likes to fuck like teen boys, you know?
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
X-Men 2, one of the
it
best
was a great movie,
ever.
But man.
But it's, yeah, he's a bad dude.
Oh.
I just don't care about what religious people think. I guess, like, I don't know. Does it really matter? Does Jesus really matter? At what point does religion stop mattering?
Well, listen. The only reason why I bring it up is because Christianity is so strong that we're not going to get to Star Trek in my future because of them. We're not going to race to the stars as a human race because of Christianity.
I don't think that's the biggest problem anymore. I think now it's this whole like fascism, like we need to like get rid of all science that's happening. I feel like that's way worse than people going like Jesus is bread.
It's kind of the same fire, right? It's like
it is. Yeah. They go hand in hand. So maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's part of the disinformation thing. Like, as long as these people are religious, then we still have them. We can still like feed them whatever we want when it comes to aliens.
And this is the craziest thing too, is that like, there's so many alien encounters with humans where they bring up religious things. And it just makes me go, oh fuck. Whatever their experience is tainted too. And I don't know if it's because of their beliefs or because let's say that we are some sort of experiment for some other race and they want to keep us on the path of belief to not find them, or, you know, I don't know. This brings up more questions. And
or like biblically accurate angels. You know,
I mean,
like
that's the whole thing. This is what I don't understand. Like religion needs a marketing guy, because it's so easy to just fold aliens into your shit. It's so easy. The Bible couldn't be less clear about what it's saying, right? It's like riddles. It's like reading a fucking 500-page riddle. And we've seen it. People are going like, well, you can't be gay or whatever. And it's like, oh, because of this one fucking line that you saw? Like, that's not even a big... Okay. I mean, so basically, Willie, you're saying, like, let's get rid of all religions and then we can work on the alien stuff?
I don't mind if we don't have to get rid of them, but you just got to be a little more open to the rest of the world. That's all.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to think, this is a little bit of a different thing, but you kind of mentioned it. you know, and I always say I like to think, because it comforts me, you know, I'd like to think that maybe if there are beings here, maybe it's not that controlled or tactful. You know, it's like if maybe we're a science experiment, but maybe some of these crafts that they're finding are like teenager aliens rebelling, yeah, you know, and just like trying to cause a little chaos on this world, you know, and they get in trouble and it's like, well, shit, you know, but it's like, that's what they do for fun is mess, yeah, with these smaller beings. And that's honestly kind of comforting to me. And I'm like, hey, I like that.
I like that too. Well, wait, so in that version, so are they not fucking with us, but it's just teens who are coming here joyriding and fucking up?
Yeah, it's teens joyriding, or it's like, yeah, I think it's teens joyriding. And if we are discovering their tech, maybe they think that's kind of cute. You know, they're like, hey, did you hear Earth's doing that thing? And they're like, oh, that's. That's,
yeah, great. Did you know what they turned our craft into? They turned it into nuclear weapon. That's so insane. We have the cure for cancer on that craft, but they chose violence.
They made those,
like, all right, send somebody
fiber optic light plants that happened in the '80s. Remember those things?
Yeah. Like
a fiber optic decoration.
Oh, like a Christmas, yeah, tree?
It just like a little table thing that was like,
I don't remember that.
With the tip of everything was illuminated.
It was like a koosh, right, ball, but it was all fiber optics and the light.
Whoa,
was
just, yeah, gosh. I missed that.
They're like,
wait, they're selling the shit that we sell at our state fairs at their state fairs?
Yeah, yeah. But also, that's how we get high-speed internet now. But for a while, it was like a table decoration.
Right. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. So what do you think, Willie? What do you want to say?
I think this is a good documentary to watch because it just kind of has – this is what you want in a UFO documentary. You want credible witnesses. You want experts. I think that we have a weird, crazy future coming up, and you should start thinking about it now. That's all. Just, God, like,
get, I fucking your... wish, dude. I wish. I just don't think so. Lars, what do you think? Are we gonna get like actual disclosure in our lifetime?
Well, I mean, they're declassifying, right? They're kind of doing it. Like, what would count as a full disclosure? You know?
Well, I would say this. Okay. As a full disclosure, I would say, like, do you think aliens will be a common fact in our lifetime? That these things are real and they're here?
I'll say, I'm saying yes, because, God, I hope so. Wouldn't that just be great?
It would be great.
I really hope so. And you know, we're inching towards it, you know, compared to, I think this stuff, even like with tech, it's all exponential, you know? So like the fact that they're dropping a little bit of UFO stuff now means like in 10 years from now, hopefully this is just all old news. And actually something my mom always says is like, you know, there will be the day when, kind of like COVID, honestly, it's like there will be the day when it's, oh, before the aliens, after the aliens, And that's comforting to me. You know, it's like there's something greater. It's almost like religion, you know, to think that there's something greater. It's giving up a little control of your life a little bit, yeah, you know, and being,
you
gotta
have faith in the aliens.
Would, yeah, you, would you, would, yes, you put your, would you put your faith in them, or would you, or would you revolution, you know, would you get some fires and torches and go after the monster?
Well, it sounds like they're going to be kind of hot, so
they're going to be so hot.
I put my faith in that. In an instant.
These Nuggets fucking lost to Dallas. The worst team. God damn it. All right. So, Lars, thank you for being here. Do you want to plug anything? You could list your socials, any project that you have, anywhere you want to point our audience. Go ahead and do that.
Sure. Yeah. I'm working on a movie right now. We're about 90% filmed and it's all independent. We did, nice, a crowdfunding marketing campaign. Everything has been independent. So What'd you shoot at? We're not asking for money. We're asking for vibes. I partnered up with a company called Ramble Pictures here in Minneapolis. I believe we shot it on a SF7. It's a cinema camera. I'm blanking on which letter. It's a Sony.
Yeah,
which
what letter, the order of the letters what, are.
Yeah.
It could be Fox Sports, or it could be Sports Fox. What exactly. did you direct it, write it? What's your involvement?
Yeah, I wrote it. We shopped it around last year. So we made a short. It was called Lemonade of Love. And it ended up winning some awards and festivals. And I was like, hey, let's make this a feature film. So I launched a company called Smart Blonde Productions. And we do, you know, a lot of shorts. And now we're doing our first feature. And so we wrote it, chopped it around, got some bites, and then it was like, yeah, we want to move forward with your script. And then next thing we know, the guy we were talking to at the studio, they shuffled their management. It just was like, all right, sure. if we're gonna make this movie, we just gotta make this movie. So we're still filming, but we're 90% done here in Minnesota. We're done, and that's why I've been home actually for like 2 months doing that, and finished up in November right before the snow. It's called Love You to Death. It's a rom-com parody that slowly devolves into a horror, but it's very comedy focused, pushes the comedy. It's not really spooky, you know, it's kind of like a Mel Brooksy scary movie sort of situation. My background is sketch comedy, so it really leans into what's the funny part of each scene, and we take it off from there. And
awesome.
Yeah. So look for that. We are Smart Blonde Productions. That's smart_blonde_prod on Instagram. And then my personal is Lars.hub. My partner and I, comedy partner, Sutter Nolan. We are posting sketches all the time.
I can't believe we haven't had you on before. Dude, I'm a big fan of yours. You like, go follow him. Watch all of his fucking comedy. You are like doing what I want to do, where it's like your account is like your own sketch show. And I will tell you, I think that everything, I don't think there's anything you've ever made that I didn't like. I fucking love it. And I'm just so excited for your movie. Like,
honestly,
so funny, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. We've had an awesome year, and shaping up to be an awesome year next year too. Just got the ideas flowing, and it's been super fun. We got lucky with the algorithm too. Things have been blowing up. So it's been dream come true, really. So
It's weird though, because Willie, are you in it?
No.
Oh, you're not.
I'm not in it either.
And I'm wondering, what happened? Why aren't we in it? Why aren't we in it?
in what, the movie or the sketches?
In your movie, anything, man, we're out here.
You're right. No, I do need kind of like a Beavis and Butthead thing, and it would be perfect. When I come back to LA, let's do some for sure.
Yeah, let's work. Lars Mattoon, check him out and stay tuned. What is it? I Love You to Death.
Love You to Death. Yeah.
Love you to death. No I.
No I. Okay.
Are you
no
in it? Do you act too?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm in it.
Are you the main guy, or did you give yourself like a little shit part?
I am the main guy. Yeah. I had to, you know, I needed my likeness, and
okay. Well, let me
couldn't pay anyone to do it.
Let me give you a little advice. Do not try to edit it. Hire an editor, man. I saw some good advice. It's like, you're kind of, I know, dude, I know you're making three different movies. You're making, you write the script, and then you make the movie. It's 100% different than you're remaking the script when you make the movie. And then when you get into post, it's like a whole fucking third deal, man.
Yeah.
So get as many heads in there as you can.
It's really three people. And, you know, I'm kind of like, I haven't started editing because I'm hoping for my brain to reset, you know?
Yeah. 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 Spend some time away from it. Maybe you'll see some mistakes or whatever.
Yeah, Stephen King in his book on writing, not that I'm plugging it, but it's great. And he's like, relish in the fact that you, in your first draft or even in your third draft, like give yourself that time to forget it. So then you, when you reread it, you're like, oh, hell yeah. So I kind of did that with the script. I'm going to do that with the editing too. And hey, I would love a guy to edit it for me, but I don't know. I mean, that's what it's also not my process. You know, I had a really good buddy, Joel Haver. He's an awesome filmmaker. And he was like, and I was like, hey, and he made 12 movies in 12 months. And he was like, he's a YouTuber. And
how long
is just a beast, movies? Just a beast. They're feature length. It's crazy. Yeah. Look him up. He's great. And he was like, well, whatever you do, don't change your process too much, you know, because that's what you know is your process.
Yeah, but dude, I'm from sketch too. And like editing sketch is so much different than editing a movie. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm having fucking, what's it called when the woman gives birth and then hates life and wants to kill herself?
Postpartum.
Every mother ever. Come on.
Yeah. I think I'm just having postpartum about our thing. I was gonna edit it. I fucking couldn't do it. I got like half. I just couldn't do it, man. It's too fucking. Anyway, this is beyond. You don't need to hear this.
It's a lot. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. Honestly,
it's ridiculous. But these 12 movies this guy made, they couldn't have been good, right? Are they like mumblecore?
They're good.
Or something?
They're good. His process is like, you know, it's very collaborative. So he gets great people together, and he's just a beast for creativity too. I admire him so much. So. I couldn't say enough good things about him. A force for
creativity and art.
Creativity, yeah. It's just like it's all about that. And he practices what he preaches, and it's cool. So, and I hope to do the same sort of thing. Practice what I preach. Edit my own shit, and try not to hate myself while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. Remember, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Okay. We're going to keep the conversation going on our more episode, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You can find it there. We're going to keep talking about Lars, not about him, not about him.
Talk about me.
Let's talk about your blonde hair. And
yes. Okay,
you're like now, a surfer. Now you're kind of a surfer, dude.
Now I got so much experience here.
Okay, the sign off is, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.